to see an army that won't quit just because some rinky-dinks. It's a joke, folks. I'm not mad at anybody. He said that in the pulpit. I tell you, I was going to speak to you this morning. Well, I was going to speak to you this morning on the subject is God in the camp. But after that message, I better change it and do something else, okay? That was a great message this morning. Chris is my buddy. And I've been watching you for a while. And last time I was here, I accused you. How much time have I got here? I better get going here. Well, last time I was here, I accused you of not smiling when you led music. Now this time I've been watching that smile. I watched it Friday night, and I watched it this morning. And I've been trying to place that smile. And now I know where I've seen that smile. I've seen it on TV. That's when Goebbels was just getting to pull the switch on the Jews over there in the furnaces. That same kind of a smile. It's a joke, folks. Come on, laugh. You know, encourage me. Don't encourage me. All right. Well, we're glad you're here. We really are glad that you're here. We're really glad that you're on fire for God. And from the last time I was here to this time here, boy, I tell you, it's a great crowd. It's a great crowd of people. And I just want to tell you something right here now that so from last year to this year, we're 1 year closer to the coming of the King. Amen. The brother gave me a thought, and as he was preaching this morning, and he asked the question not why, and not where, and not when, but how. And I think that's the big question in Christianity this morning. So I'm going to speak to you this morning, Lord willing, out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll read that so that you can say that I had a text and then we'll depart from it, I suppose. I'm going to speak to you how to hang in there. It's one thing to start something. It's one thing to get on a journey, but it's something else to hang in there. Now, for those of you that are, I don't think there's anybody as old as I am in here, but those of you coming close to my age, could nod your head, ladies. For those of you getting close, that's a contemporary thing of saying, stick with the stuff is what it is. So when I say how to hang in there, I'm trying to reach you younger people. How to hang in there. I remember the story one time of a guy that was, the guys were in prison, and the guards came to get a guy, and they were taking him down the road, and his buddy said to him, he says, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the electric chair. The guy says, more power to you. I don't want to preach that kind of a message here this morning. How to hang in there. When I say how to hang in there, I don't mean how to hang in there. I mean how to hang in there. You know what I'm saying? And you need that this morning. And I need it this morning. Of course, I've got an alligator hide. It doesn't bother me what, and I really mean that. I've developed that over the years, not because I am who I am, but because of who he is. Amen. See, it doesn't, the only time I get bothered is when somebody makes a mockery out of God's word, then I feel sorry for them. I used to want to fight everybody, and then after I lost a few, and all the bones are gone out of that nose, it's just a piece of rubber is all it is, I decided maybe I better talk my way out of some scraps. So I'm going to speak to you how to hang in there. And now, I want you to notice something. I didn't say why you should hang in there. I didn't say where you should hang. I said how. I'd like to teach you this morning, I'd like to speak to you this morning about how to hang in there. You know, all the encouragement in the world isn't going to do it for you. All that the people are going to talk to you and they're going to pat you on the back. And take it from me, I've been a Christian for 48 years, been preaching for over 40 years. All the patting on the back is not always to try to encourage you. That's looking for a soft spot to put the dagger most of the time. And all the encouragement in the world is not going to help you to hang in there. It may be for a second or two. But you and I need something. And that something is how to hang in there so that you never, never, never falter. Now, I'm sure from the last time I was here, there's a few folks that have just drifted along the way. And I'm sure of that. I don't know. I haven't counted the noses. And so I'd just like to encourage you. And I'm going to speak to you on how. Did you ever notice a bulldog? A bulldog's nostrils are slanted back. Did you ever notice that? You know why? So when he gets a hold of something, he can hang on there and still breathe. And so some of us need to get bulldog noses. I mean, we're it must not suffer loss. I don't care what's going on. The name of Christ and the glory of Christ must not suffer loss. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I don't care what anybody else is thinking. The banner of Christ must not suffer loss. And I'm telling you right now, God is counting on you. He don't count on me anymore. I'm just a guy that makes a lot of noise. But he's counting on you. The preacher said it this morning. Some of you young folks in here and older folks as well. Somebody says, well, I'm just getting a little too old. Hey, folks, I was an associate for 25 years. I didn't start pastoring until I was 52 years old. And I left my hometown in Ohio. I went to New York City to start. I like them apples. So I say, hang in there. You had a fella in this church. I was on a mission trip with him. I don't know where it was. You had a fella in this church, and I don't see him here this morning. I think it's this church. He used to ride bulls. Little guy. Tough as nails. I like him. Anybody that rides bulls hasn't got too much sense, so that appeals to me. And I used to talk to him about riding bulls, and I said, does the crowd encourage you? And do your buddies encourage you? And what keeps you riding bulls? And how are you a successful bull rider? And he says, I'll tell you how. You got to know how to ride the bull. You got to know how to ride the bull. And we're expecting a lot of times, and I'm not saying this is true in this church, we're expecting a lot of times for God's people to live for God and to hang in there, but we never teach them how to hang in there. Now, there is a way. There's an absolutely 100% foolproof way for you to hang in there and not to get discouraged and not to jump around, but just to stay with the stuff and go and go and go and go. And that's not looking at this guy over here or this guy over here or any other guy. So let's get the guys out of our minds. How come you're looking so sober? You think I said something nasty? Want me to swear? I'll make you feel better, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is a great portion of word. And this young bull rider told me, he says, he got a boy. I think the boy was about 5 or 6 at that time. And he said, I said, is your boy going to ride bulls? He said, yeah. I said, you think he'll ever mount to be? Yes, sir. He said, he will. I said, well, how do you know that for sure? He says, because I'm going to teach him how. Not why. Not where. Not when. That all falls into place. I'm going to teach him how. I'd like to illustrate from this portion of God's Word and wherever else I'll go from there in the short time I have, that staying in the ministry, keep on doing what God has called you to do. And let me say something here while I'm at it so that I can create all the enemies at one time in here. You know what the problem in this whole wide world is? We've got a bunch of preachers running around saying, this is a ministry and this is a ministry, and nobody knows what a ministry is, biblically speaking. You got a ministry. You got a ministry. You got a ministry. You got a ministry. It doesn't take any special training to do it. So there I blew everything, huh? You just got to know how to do it. And the how to do it is I'm going to teach it. Lord willing, I'm going to teach it from the Bible this morning in about 45 minutes. I'm going to teach you how to do it, and you won't have to go to a discipleship class for 10 years. Now, this will work. Guarantee it'll work. Now, there's nothing wrong with discipleship classes. Don't you misunderstand me. My problem is I can't spell the word. Continuing on for the Lord despite the trials, the troubles, cannot be accomplished on willpower. I don't care how much stick-to-itis you got. You can't make it that way. It takes more than desire. It takes more than good wishes. It takes more than help from the spectators to stay on the bull. You just can't determine that you're going to do it and succeed. You will not. You just can't do it by willpower. You can't expect people to encourage you and the encouragement from people to do it, although it's good. You can't expect that. My dear people, when I went into the ministry, it wasn't very long that I determined from there on in. It didn't make any difference whether I got a pat on the back or not. I knew what I was supposed to do, and that's the way I was going to do it. And nothing was going to deter me unless God killed me. And that's the thing in a nutshell. See, when I got saved, I got saved. I got saved late. I was almost 26. But when I got saved, I didn't have to go to some preacher and ask him whether this was right or this was wrong. When I got saved, I knew God was right, and so everything that God did was right, and there was no grave with God, so I had no problems. It's tough doing some things, but some of you old-timers know what I'm talking about. I come out of the military, boy, and I'll tell you, they thought I was speaking a foreign language. You come out of the military, you talk different. Your language is atrocious. And I'd have to say, Pastor, butter. And I'd have to say, go to Texas. It was tough. And the thing that I say to you, you know, you got an honest preacher in front. The thing that I say is this, that I hope and pray that when God takes me, it'll be in one shot. I don't want to be under any medication because I may say some things under medication that I shouldn't say. I desire God to take me in one. I have no problems. I say this before God and before anybody else. If when I go, I'm going to God take me in one shot. I don't care how it goes. That's it. Simply because of the fact that I know that in this flesh, there's some seeds planted over the years that are liable to blossom out. You can't trust this thing here. You can't trust it. You think you can, but you can't. Even though you may have nice people encouraging you to live for God, even though your pastor says, keep on keeping on, even though you have friends. I suppose the man that could probably be most qualified to teach that, just to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and he, not one time, I mean, there's some preachers accusing, some opposition, that's Satan and his crowd, is going to tell you it's not worth it to hang in there. Now, you better think about that. You're not going to have any. And I noticed something about this family. There's a lot of love here. Endured great hardships. He was hated by the devil. I don't think he's ever been saved. Longer of the Sanhedrin. And when he was of the Sanhedrin, all he did was kill Christ people, judging other people. I can see that scripture where they talk about a lot of antichrists around. Who's lukewarm. Who God says, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Wouldn't do that to Christians, the born-again people. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's going to be those who are faithful will rule and reign with Jesus Christ on the millennial reign. Amen. You're going, unless you get yourself straightened out here as far as how to hang in there, I don't have to know anything about the Bible. Just as a man. All that hell and the garbage they took, and on top of that took all of your sin, and you've lived an unfaithful. That's not an amen message. A good fight, brother. Stay with it. Stay with it. The other church is doing. This church, my dear friend, must be careful that the banner. You guys don't feel sorry for me because I'll have that banner waving it high up there. With that by the grace of God, according to what I'm going to speak to you this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, see, when you read therefore, I'll let you do that for yourself. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. How'd you get it? Where's Terry? Darn. He said, well, my Bible's in my truck. I said, go get it. In the meantime, we sent your pastor in to get us. Chapter 2. I said, you got it? He said, yeah. So I started reading out of that NIV. Now, that's a piece of. He's really getting nervous. And I said, he said, well, when I'm reading my notes, or he's trying to figure out how my notes correspond with what the Word of God says. And I agree. As we have before, there is no excuse for fainting. Into deeper, deeper water from here. Not walking in craftiness. What was a man or a woman as a born-again Christian to take God's word and use it for their own heart? But I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of God's people being dirty anything here. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not what it is hid to them that are lost. Well, of Christ, who is the image of God. Should I tell you what's happened? Wrong. Sinful. It's heart-wrenching. God's counting on you. Hey, big guy, I don't care what you're doing. He doesn't need you, sir, but he's counting on you. God's counting on me. It must not. There to sing forever. How to shine out of darkness. Who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You got to talk about. Come on, let that light shine out. I'm going to try to get through this because I only read 10 verses, that's all. But we have this treasure. Notice that God called. Come on, Christian, get those shoulders back and raise that head up. This treasure, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency, what? That the excellency of the power of God, the power may be of God and not of us. May be of God, but not of us. This treasure in this earthen vessel may shine out the glorious light of the glorious gospel to others to see, that others might know that we've been with Christ, and the excellency of the power of God may be seen, not us, or not of us. Now here he gets into it. He said, well, that's all fine. That's a pep talk. No, it's not a pep talk, but then some folks might just take it to be that. Now let's get down to the nitty-gritty. We're in trouble on every side. See how God makes that thing swing? How God swings that thing? I love it. I love it. I mean to tell you, God gets me higher than... I hit that. God gets me up here, boy, and I'm just... Woo! I'm ready to be raptured. By the time he says, well, you're going to have troubles. And that's, oh, God. Oh, boy. Get off that... Because I know if I don't get off that, it's going to hurt when I fall. I just as soon fall here as to fall off that chair. Amen? Amen? Come on, get with the program here. Say amen, say amen. Oh my, or swear, or do something. I'm not kidding you. This is what I have on this message. Now, I ain't going to preach it all. Because we're not going to get to it all. But we are troubled on every side. And it's getting us down. We are perplexed. And we're going crazy. Oh, wait a minute. That's that NIV again. There I go. Verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Getting better. Persecuted, but not forsaken. You feel like you've been forsaken? Well, there's the promise. Well, we'll see. We're going to find out whether we're Bible believers this morning or not. We're ready for the King James Bible. Yeah? Well, we'll find out. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. Bearing about the dying, but bearing about the resurrection. The first thing I want to say about this subject here, and it's going to be short because I'm not going to be able to get to my illustration, is this. This is what you've got to do. Paul accepted the ministry God gave him. Now, that's up to you. I accepted the ministry God gave me. Verse 1, look at that. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. He was not accepted by the other apostles for several years. He was constantly challenged and questioned, even by the other apostles throughout his ministry. He suffered shipwrecks and beatings and stonings and jailings on a regular basis. But what did he do? He had accepted the ministry that God had given him. You want to know how to do it? Accept what God's given you and go on from there. So you don't understand the circumstances. You don't understand this has got nothing to do with the circumstances. That's just a little thing. That's just a little thing. Circumstances never affected the program of God. I told you the other day, and I'll tell it to you again. Troubles and jeering and mocking and ridiculing you are the things that you're going to have to accept on the path of life from those who are living in mediocrity. Don't get down to their level. I get all kinds of letters. You'd be surprised. I get all kinds of letters. Guys write me all kinds of letters. Call me this and call me that and so on and so forth. And I learned some things a long time ago. If a guy writes you a letter or talks to you on the telephone, he ain't got guts enough to face you face to face. And you go to bed at night and you get a letter and somebody will call you, it's you're thin-skinned or you're this or you're that and so on and so forth. And you get that letter and you laugh about it. But that night you go to bed and the devil say, oh, you're not saved. You're not really, well, you're saved, but you're not really a Christian. You're just too yellow to answer this guy a letter. You're afraid he might challenge you. Boy, and the devil, I'm telling you what, if you got a nature like mine, that's where the devil. A guy calls me a name, and I say, well, brother, if I wasn't a Christian, we'd go at it or something like this, whatever the case may be. That, I don't think that would ever happen. But I mean, it might happen. That night, I'll go to bed, and the devil will just tear me to pieces. You didn't fight him because you were a Christian. You fight him because you're yellow. I get up out of that bed and say, who's yellow? My wife will say, well, shut up and go to sleep. Now I'm reaching every man in this place. Am I not? I'm reaching your manhood. And there's some things that you've been wanting to do that you'd like to do that you ain't going to do. Because you're going to learn how to hang in there. So the first thing I'm telling you is this. Accept the ministry God gave you. Be satisfied with it. Don't try to be any. Well, you just don't know me. I can really preach. So what? So can the devil. What's so exciting about that? Well, you say, I think that I should be used more. What's that got to do with the stuff? Accept the ministry, not the ministry the pastor has given you or somebody else has given you. Accept the ministry that God has given you. The ministry that God has given you. The ministry that God has given you. I don't know what it is. You know. You, sir. The ministry that God... You, ma'am. The ministry that God has given you. Accept the ministry that God has given you. And if things aren't going just right, just play it cool. Just keep on keeping on. Don't worry about things. Don't try to solve all the problems of the ministry. How to hang in there? Accept what God's... The ministry that God has given you, and don't look for any more. Let God dump it on you through His mercy. Verse 1. Dry old message. You want me to say something, right? Team fight and jump out of the chair and jump around? No. You're going to have this. Context of this verse is in view of the trials he faced because of his ministry. In chapter 3, he answers the questions as to whether he needed to have a letter of commendation from other apostles and so on and so forth. Paul's ministry was being attacked by other churches within the community. And one of these days, you're going to find that to be true in your church. If you don't know it now, you're pretty stupid, honey. But what's that got to do with it? What's that got to do with it? Hang in there by accepting the ministry that God has given you. Yeah, trying to figure out which way to go from here. We faint not. It's going to take time. Preacher said it this morning. Boy, I like that. I preached that myself. I preached it for other people, but not for me. Six paces and a sacrifice. If I could get a hold of that truth, I do. And I do for a while, and then I go ahead and say, well, I think maybe I can take 12 paces. I forget six is the number of man. When he says, when God says six paces, he said, that's all you can handle, buddy. That's man's number. That's all you can handle. I had a good message this morning. I had a good message. Good message. I'm going to clean it up and use it someplace. They tell me, I read this someplace, in the Far East there's a tree, way far east, there's a tree called the Chinese bamboo. You say, how do you know that? I don't know, that's what I read. And they said this Chinese bamboo, when it's planted, it must be watered and fertilized for 5 years. You're nodding your head so you know what I'm talking about, don't you? For 5 years before it grows. Now watch this. In the fifth year, there is a 5-week span where it will grow to 90 feet. Now watch this thing. Plant that thing, water it, fertilize it for 5 years, don't see anything. And then on the fifth year, in a 5-week period of time, that thing goes up 90 feet. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Now, don't you forget it when you answer it. When did that bamboo tree grow 90 feet? In 5 years or 5 weeks? Five years, amen? Not in 5 weeks, 5 years. This church can grow 90 feet in 5 weeks if God wants it to, but it may take 5 years of fertilizing and watering and taking care. And you know, God's not going to give green troops, not going to send green troops into combat, where they act toward each other and so on and so forth. Well, man, they don't know anything about the author. Love one another. I don't care if you're Apostle Paul, and we look at the life of this bamboo tree. It kept bugging me. Now, I never looked for a position. I never looked for a position. Well, it takes almost 48 years ago, but I sure have been taught some lessons recently. As a youth director, you're blessed, man. You're younger than that, and you're a pastor. Married way over his head. And you know what? He's from around here. But he's dumb enough to accept the ministry that God's given him and go back to live in New York City. I've often thought about that, Phil. I wonder what I would do if God asked me to come back to Staten Island after Las Vegas. I'd sure miss those days. I mean, I'd sure miss that place over there. Second thing Paul had is this. Now listen, the first thing is this. Accept the ministry God's given you. Just accept it. I don't know what you're doing now, but accept it. So I'm not doing anything. Well, accept it. You know, neither did that bamboo tree for 5 years. Accept it. But look expectantly. But accept it. The second thing, Paul had a proper perspective of his problem. Look at verses 8 and 9. I'll tell you, these two verses are fantastic. And this is the church needs this. We all need this. Look here, look at verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Remember, ingratitude, criticism, doubts, and ridicule are always going to come. They are the price you pay along the way as you pass those who are mediocre. Troubled but not distressed. The word troubled means to be crowded or pressured or however else you want to do it. The word distressed means to be in a calamity. He said, are you troubled? Yeah, I'm troubled, Mary, just like the rest of you guys. I get troubled all the time. You love it, don't you? Troubled, but it's not a calamity. Oh, Lord. You know what he wants to say? Ask your wife. He says it's one thing to be squeezed, it's something else to be squished. Amen? When you start looking for a helping hand when trouble comes, let me suggest this to you. The best helping hand you will ever find is on the end of your arm. The best helping hand that you will ever find is on the end of your arm. I don't mean this way either. I mean, it's there. Amen? Are you getting my illustrations or am I too deep for you? Because if I'm too deep for you, you're in trouble, because that's about as simple as I can get. And that's pretty simple. He says you're perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed means at a loss. The word despair means completely lost. You're never completely lost. You may be perplexed, but don't let that overcome you so that you're completely lost. Just keep on keeping on. You know the ministry that God's given you. Well, I don't really... Listen, what is the ministry? Well, I want to know what God's will is for my life. You'll never find it. You know why you'll never find it? Because there's no such thing in the Bible. People say, I want to know what's God's will in my life. You've been reading some books out of the bookstore. Pardon the expression, there ain't no such thing as God's will for your life. You know what there is? God's will. That's all. And when you see God working someplace, get in there. Get it all over you. You say, well, is that the ministry? Yeah, the ministry is this. Get God all over you. Now, that sounds dumb. It sounds too simple for an intellectual society and for people who can use computers and do everything else. That sounds too simple. Well, my dear friend, God's plan of salvation is simple. God's working is simple. I mean, you know what? God's progress in your life is simple. All you got to do is be surrendered. He does the work. Or didn't you know that? When troubles... Are you sleeping on me? Oh, no, you just look that way all the time. Well, you got fast clocks around here. Persecuted, but not forsaken. The word persecuted means hunted. Have you ever been hunted in your life? The word forsaken means deserted. Let them hunt. That's what drove David crazy. He went out and got a hold of a king, and he got so worried about the thing, he thought he was going to get it, that he had to pretend like he was. Can you imagine King David, the one who's going to rule out in eternity as king, frothing at the mouth, frothing at the mouth, like as if he was out of his mind? Well, that may that encourage you. Is anybody here froth at the mouth? Yes. See what I'm saying? Things can get worse. And they probably will. No. Keep one thing in mind. Persecuted. Persecuted. But never forsaken. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You believe that? Amen. You believe that? Amen. You believe that? Amen. Well, good night. Say it with conviction. See, my dear friends, persecution doesn't bother you if you know that you're not forsaken. Let them come. I'm in a hole. Somebody says, bayonet charge. And I look around. I see the enemy coming. You know what? I look over my left and I see Mangiello over there. I look over my right and I see Farcella over there. I've seen him in bayonet fights. I know I can count on him. I look back there and I see another guy back there. I said, boy, let the guys come. All I got to do is look up there and watch these birds as they're coming and give it to them. Thrust. Give it to them. I don't have to worry about my right flank, about my left flank. You know why I don't have to worry about it? Because God's all over me. God's all over me. That's what he says. You're never deserted. You may feel like this. May you feel like the whole world is coming to an end, my dear friend. That verse is great. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, kicked. Stepped on, laughed at, mocked, cheated. But never destroyed. people. Wake up. There he hangs in the cross. Hey, big shot, come down from that cross. Come on, prove you're the Son of God. All he would have had to do was just pop those nails and pop those things and spoken a word, and 10,000 angels would have come down and wiped them all out. Persecuted, cast down, but never destroyed. Never destroyed. You may look right now as if the whole world's coming to an end. You are never destroyed. And determine, purpose in your heart, keep that proper perspective. That's the perspective that you keep. The first thing you should do is accept the ministry that God's given you. That's how you do it. The second thing you do is keep the proper perspective. It's not always what you want to do. There's been some things that I wanted to teach Billy Graham, but I've never had the chance. Ha, 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 ha. I read his book just as I am. I may not agree with everything, but I got halfway through reading that book and I put it down and got on my knees and asked God to forgive me for not praying for this man. Now, you may not agree with what he's done, and maybe you don't like him. That doesn't make a difference. You better get to like him because you're going to be up there with him. You're going to be up there with a lot of people. So just love him. Love him, even though they won't love you back. Just love him anyhow. See what God will do here. See what God will do in your life. Time you get a man that says he wants to preach the word of God and has 70,000 people in Deadhead, Scotland, sitting out for an hour and a half and pouring down rain and sleet, listening to the word of God preached, he got something I ain't got. And I may not agree with him in some areas, but bless God, he's got something I got. I ain't got. No, I didn't want to get into that. Folks, listen to me. Get happy. Rejoice. You know what a snail is? You know what a turtle is? What did the snail do when he got on the back of the turtle? What did he say? Whee! Amen? Hey, what a ride! Bless God! That's what he said. He said, whee! Man, I've never gone this fast in all of my life! You're on a ride! You may be perplexed. You may be persecuted, but you're never destroyed. Amen. That's the second principle. Have the proper perspective. What time do you normally get through now? Tell me the truth. By now? Did you ever hear a preacher lie like that? What's that mean, huh? It's like, we're supposed to run. What does that mean? You did? Well, we've only gone about 10 minutes, haven't we? Third thing I want you to know is that Paul had his eyes fixed on the right thing. That's all. Now, I know it's tough. You've been brainwashed for television with everything else that's going on in the world. And it's tough. It's tough. I know what I'm talking about. And I get this Bible, and I'm studying that Bible, and I'm reading that Bible, and I walk by the TV, and there's Christian boxing on there. Oh, you said, I don't believe it. Boxing is Christian. Well, there's blood there, isn't it? I don't think there's anything like a good fight where blood squirts all over the place. I think it's beautiful. No, I don't want to get all ladies mad at me. I walk by that thing with my Bible open, and I say, I go over the room and get a glass of water, I come back, and I go, ooh, ooh, ee, ooh. That's what my dad used to do to me when he'd say, oh, man, then I'm perfect in that area. I'm not. But you got to get your eyes on the right thing. Two types of fruit presented at the judgment seat of Christ. There goes everything I did all my life. There it goes, up in smoke. Are you ready to meet the bridegroom? Let me ask you a question. Are you ready to meet the bridegroom? 99% of God's people don't know what they're supposed to do to get ready to meet the bridegroom. Paul could hang in there because his eyes fixed on heavenly things and not. That's what Paul said. I've never wanted to run a circus or a social club or a sideshow. Young man here with his wife and family. Just bust loose and do it. So he did. Maybe. Revenge is mine, saith the Lord. I love you, Sabak. You're such a sweet preacher. Chapter 6 about what God said He would do in my life and other places. I read the promises of God and I said, that's 2 weeks tomorrow. Because they said they know more about this verse than God did because they rewrote it. Can you and I believe? Many would like to sing a song. Here's how we sing it. I'm over that place. We'll finally stumble into the sweet by and by and we'll breathe a sigh. I tell you, my friend, if I wasn't having more fun going to heaven, then I'm quiet for a while. And the guy says, come on, say something. And then he says, I'm thinking. It's like getting out of a shoebox in the middle of a parking lot. Damn it. God is our source. God made everything. Just today with this disease of horizontalism. What if the high won't get through here? Mankind is often the agent of God's source, but stereo that this was something. Now today it's nothing, you know. I mean, today I'm talking to my ZZBs and your BTSs and your MIVs and my OOOs and the 222s and you got components. Components. I put all the pieces together. And they said, we'll fix it. And brought it back the next day. Did you ever get so perplexed it became a conflict with you? 3 or 4 days to stay home. I come in the house and Mama was still in bed. It was pretty close. Put that light on and real low. And man, I'm laying there listening to my phones on and I'm just enjoying it. And I don't think it played more than a minute or two and it quit. That room for bed and almost tore my ears off. I forgot to take the stupid things off my ear. And I went. And she said, Mel, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. PM and Ford and Ralph Nader and Chrysler and Clinton over there in Pennsylvania. Short distance. It was called Brian Electronics Mouth. She says, no, Mr. Brian here. This is just a trade name. I want the one with the biggest office, the one with the biggest parking lot. I want this. I don't want customer repair. I don't want the secretary. May I help you, sir? The secretary said. And I said, yes, I want to talk to your boss. Well, there's a board of directors, but he's the boss. I mean, I said, you mean he's number one? She says, yeah. I said, I haven't got a box. I'm mad. You're trying to tell me. I learned something. You want to get something done, go to number one. Take it to the head of the company. A guy who knows. That works for a lousy. And worry about what the person is saying about you, or you can worry yourself into a horizontal consideration, my dear. It'll not be because of you or anybody else. It'll be because God wants it to survive. God is. That's my. I think. No, not really that strong. We leave here 6 or 7 times. Leave there and come back for 4 or 5 days. And head for Brother Pitts, Mike. Back from there and I'm home for a week and a half. And then I'm going back down to Tennessee and preach. I'll tell you something, folks. Okay. Accept the ministry that God's given you. I don't care what it is. I don't. You mean that's a ministry, dear friend. That's it, dear. I'm going to be through. If you don't say amen, I'll keep on preaching. Watch it now. Say amen. Amen. I knew you would because I kept the proper perspective. Well, I quit worrying about eating anyhow. Boy, that one I had, where's that guy? That was as burnt as black as a... It's giving you a good man. I'd like to take him away from you. Temporal. Now, you quit hanging around. I start hanging in, and you're down there. And that's the truth. What are you waiting for? Let's start hanging in. Amen? And there's a God who loved you so much that he brought this Savior to come and let him pay for your sin. And I'm testing your mental capacity this morning. My song. If you're here this morning, you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, I'm writing a serving God. And just pray for me. Would you slip it up right now? I'd like to be saved. Anybody, stick your hand up. Or maybe it's all God's people here. I don't know. You satisfied with your life? Not sure where I'd go if I died. Put your hand up right now. Because it's going to get real good. Say, Pastor, I am not a member. Said, I'm not a member, but I'd like to be a member. What are you looking for? Here's the place. Come on, get your cards. Get your team. Anybody else? Come on, slip your hand up and say, I'd like to. Father, we're your people. Boy, sometimes I live for you in these perplexing, hard, discouraging, tormenting days. Bless thy people. Stir their hearts for thee. In Jesus' name we pray.